The Catra Podcast Conversations for the Curious Essential Knowledge, Simplified, your gateway to essential ideas that matter most. This audio summary has been prepared with the help of Ekatra AI. Welcome back to the deep dive. Today we're getting into something pretty different, sort of the anti-startup philosophy.
Yeah, absolutely.
If you've ever felt, you know, completely buried under endless meetings, planning sessions, that constant pressure to just grow.
Right, the hustle culture thing.
Exactly. Then this deep dive might feel like, well, a breath of fresh air. We're digging into Rework by Jason Fried and David Heinemeier Hansen.
And it's more than just like tips and tricks. It's really a manifesto, isn't it? A real pushback against how business is normally done.
Definitely.
It basically gives you permission to think smaller, stay focused, aim for profit. Yeah, but do it in a way that's sustainable, human-centric.
So our mission today really is to distill that core idea. What are they actually asking?
Well, they frame it as, what's the absolute minimum you need to build a successful business? It's about finding that leaner path, you know, cutting out all the noise.
Okay, so who are these guys telling us to throw out the rule book? Jason Fried and David Heinemeier Hansen, or DHH?
Right, and their credibility isn't from, like, business school theory. They're the co-founders of 37 Signals. You probably know Basecamp, their big product.
Oh, yeah. Basecamp's huge.
Exactly. And their authority comes from actually doing it for, what, 2 decades now? Building this multi-million dollar company with zero debt on their own terms.
That's the really interesting part, isn't it? Doing it their way. They seem to have deliberately ignored almost every standard Silicon Valley playbook move.
Totally. Like the biggest one. They never took venture capital, ever.
Wow. No VC money.
Nope. Which means no outside investors breathing down their necks demanding crazy growth targets. They control their own destiny.
And that freedom, I guess, lets them do things differently internally, too.
Precisely. It allows for things like being pioneers in remote work right from the very beginning. They proved you don't need everyone in one expensive office.
And that hours thing, that always gets attention.
Oh, yeah. The 40-hour work week, strictly enforced, sometimes even 32 hours in the summer. They actually argue that working crazy long hours is a sign of inefficiency, not dedication.
That's pretty radical. And DHH, he brings a specific kind of background to this too, right?
He does. He created Ruby on Rails.
The programming framework.
Yeah, the one behind giants like Shopify, GitHub, Twitter back in the day. So he comes from this world of building elegant, efficient systems. That mindset, cutting out unnecessary complexity, it bleeds right into their business philosophy.
So the book Rework, it's not just ideas they had. It's basically documenting how they actually live and work.
Exactly. It's their lived philosophy written down.
So when we talk about Rework, what's the central fight here? Are they just saying be profitable differently, or is it something bigger, like a kind of liberation from, I don't know, corporate baggage?
I think it's definitely the liberation angle. The book sort of takes you on this two-part journey. First, they just tear stuff down aggressively.
Some deconstruction.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
They attack all these sacred cows of business, you know, the five-year plans, the idea you have to fail a lot, the glorification of being a workaholic. They just wipe the slate clean.
Okay, so once they've cleared the decks, what do they build back up? What's the reconstruction part?
That's where they lay out their framework. And it's all about simplicity, intense focus, and efficiency. In everything, how you develop your product, who you hire, how the team works together.
Simplicity as the core principle.
Absolutely. Complexity is the enemy. It slows things down, creates bugs, needs constant upkeep. So strip away everything non-essential. Focus only on making something genuinely useful that people will actually pay for.
Okay, let's dig into some of those specific takedowns then, because some of them really fly in the face of common business wisdom.
For sure. The first big one hits corporate culture right where it lives. Planning is guessing.
Huh.
Seriously. They argue, look, technology changes, markets shift constantly. Trying to map out 5 years in detail, it's fantasy. It just makes you rigid when you need to be agile.
Makes sense when you put it like that. What about the fail fast, fail often mantra? Everyone seems to preach that.
They push back hard on that, too. They argue learning from mistakes is overrated.
Really? How so?
Their point is that success is actually a much better teacher. Success gives you a model of what works that you can repeat. Failure often just tells you one specific thing not to do. It doesn't guarantee the next thing will work.
That's a contrarian take. And the workaholism one.
Yeah. Connecting back to their 40-hour week, they flat out call workaholism inefficiency, a sign of weakness, even.
Weakness, not dedication.
Nope. They argue workaholics often haven't figured out how to work smart. They burn out, make more mistakes, produce lower quality stuff that someone else has to fix later. It's not heroic, it's just messy.
It feels kind of validating to hear that, honestly. We've all been in those endless meetings or seen people just look busy. So, okay, if you throw out long plans and endless hours, how do they actually build something like Basecamp? What's the process?
It starts with the idea itself, their advice. Scratch your own itch.
Meaning?
Solve a problem you actually have. Basecamp started because they, as a web design firm back then, needed a better way to manage client projects. If you're solving your own problem, you inherently get the user's needs because you are the user.
Right, that makes sense. You're not guessing what someone else might want.
Exactly. And then starting small usually means you have limits: money, people, time. Most see that as a disadvantage, they say. Embrace constraints.
Constraints are good.
They argue they're a creative advantage. Limited resources force you to be clever, focused. They stop you from over-engineering or adding tons of features nobody needs just because you can.
That leads into their product philosophy, doesn't it? The half-product idea.
Right. Build half a product, not a half-assed product. It's about rejecting that impulse to build everything. Instead, find the absolute core, the epicenter. They call it the one thing your product must do, and make that part absolutely brilliant.
So quality over quantity of features.
Massively. Better to do one thing exceptionally well than 10 things poorly. Avoid the bloat.
But isn't there a risk there? If you only build half a product, aren't you potentially leaving customers wanting more or making it easy for competitors?
Well, that's where the discipline comes in. It's not about being lazy. It's about ruthless prioritization. They argue the market is actually drowning in complicated software.
True.
So they use simplicity as a selling point. If you just need solid project management, you don't want to navigate or pay for CRM features, invoicing, whatever else got bundled in. You want simple, fast, easy. They target those users.
Okay, that clarifies it. Now, let's shift gears to how the work actually gets done inside a company running on these principles. Productivity, they seem pretty ruthless here too, especially about meetings.
Oh yeah, meetings are toxic. That's their word for it.
Wow.
They see them as the single biggest productivity killer. Why? Because they chop up your day. You lose those long stretches of uninterrupted time you need for deep, focused work. If you absolutely must have one, make it short, small, with a super clear agenda and goal, and get out.
That sounds like heaven. And what about hiring? It's not just about coding skills for them, is it?
No, surprisingly, they put a huge emphasis on communication. Specifically, hire great writers.
Writers, for all roles.
For basically any role, yeah. Their logic, especially since they were remote from the start, is that clear writing signals clear thinking. If you can't explain your ideas, your progress, your problems clearly in writing, especially asynchronously, you can't function effectively in their kind of setup. Writing is the glue.
That's a fascinating insight. It all seems to boil down to protecting focus, doesn't it? Protecting the product, protecting people's time.
Exactly. Which leads to another core rule. Say no by default.
Say no first.
Pretty much. Every time you say yes to a new feature request, a custom job, a demanding client, you're not just saying yes to that one thing. You're saying yes to the long-term cost of building it, maintaining it, supporting it, dealing with the added complexity forever. So the default should be no, unless there's a compelling reason.
Okay, I get the principle, but isn't there a danger of becoming, like, too rigid? If you just say no all the time, don't you risk missing opportunities or letting competitors pull ahead?
That's a fair question. And it ties into how they approach competition and marketing, which is also different. Instead of trying to match feature for feature, they advise you to underdo your competition.
Underdo them, like deliberately do less.
Yeah, it's like judo, they say. Use your competitor's size and complexity of their strengths against them. Win by being simpler, easier, faster, where they're clunky and bloated. Target the customers who are overwhelmed by the competition's feature list.
Find the niche that values simplicity.
Exactly. And for marketing.
Yeah.
Forget expensive ad campaigns. Their approach is build an audience by sharing what you know. They call it outteach your competition.
Like their blog, Signal v. Noise.
Precisely. Share your expertise, your process, your lessons learned. Build trust and authority that way. People come to respect you, and then maybe they buy from you. It's content marketing before it was cool.
And they also talk about picking a fight.
Yeah, pick a fight. Not literally, usually. But have a clear point of view, a clear enemy. Maybe it's overly complex software. Maybe it's hustle culture. Maybe it's meetings. Having something to push against clarifies your position and attracts people who agree with you. It rallies supporters.
Okay, so if we were to boil all this down for someone listening, maybe someone feeling overwhelmed at their job or thinking about starting something small, What are the absolute key takeaways, the core messages?
I think there are maybe four big ones. First, simplicity over complexity. Always. Complexity is the real enemy. So the question for you is, how can you apply that less is more idea right now? To your to-do list, your next project, look for what to cut, not what to add.
Right. Declutter your work. Second.
Sustainable pace. This is the anti-workaholism piece. It validates taking breaks, protecting focus time, quality work, and creativity need rest. Being constantly busy isn't productive. It's often just busy.
Okay.
Third, bootstrapping and profitability. Financial discipline from day one. Try to build something people will actually pay for, because that's the ultimate validation. It forces you to be lean and smart when it's your own money on the line, not some VC's gamble.
Makes sense. And the last one.
Authenticity is marketing. Share what you know. Be genuine. That builds way more trust and loyalty in the long run than slick slogans. Your transparency is your marketing.
This book is also packed with really memorable punchy lines, isn't it? Designed to stick in your head.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Manifesto style.
Like that first one we talked about. Planning is guessing.
Right. Which just screams, be agile. Focus on now, not some imaginary future.
And for product people, build half a product, not a half-assed product.
Nail the core. Execute it perfectly. Resist the bloat. Simple as that.
Then the social critique, which feels so relevant. Workaholism isn't a badge of honor. It's a sign of weakness.
Such a direct hit on burnout culture. Efficiency trumps endurance. Quality over quantity of hours.
And maybe the most immediately actionable one for many people. Meetings are toxic.
Yeah. A wake-up call to aggressively defend your focus time from being constantly chopped up by pointless gatherings.
So, beyond the philosophy, how can someone listening actually use these ideas? Like, tomorrow morning at work or on a personal project?
Okay, for someone working inside a company, try applying the manager of one idea.
Manager of one.
Meaning, take total ownership of your work. Manage your own priorities. Figure out what needs doing. Communicate clearly without needing constant check-ins or hand-holding. Prove you don't need micromanagement or endless meetings. That earns you autonomy.
Be proactive, basically. And for personal stuff, side hustles, home projects.
Embrace launch now and good enough is fine. Seriously. Stop polishing that presentation forever. Stop tweaking that website indefinitely. Get the decent version out there. Ship it. You can always iterate later. Perfectionism is often just a fancy word for procrastination.
That hits home. And maybe a tip for managers listening.
Oh, definitely.
Mm-hmm.
Try a meeting audit. Just cancel all your recurring team meetings for, say, a month. See what happens. Then only bring back the ones that people genuinely missed and that have a crystal clear purpose, strict time limit, and minimal essential attendees. You'll likely free up a shocking amount of productive time.
That's a bold move, but I can see the appeal. For me, diving into rework again, the thing that really stands out is just the sense of permission.
Permission, yeah.
Permission to ignore the standard playbook, the feeling that you don't actually need massive funding or a huge team or permission from anyone, really, to start building something valuable and, importantly, sustainable.
Absolutely. My final thought is similar. This book is liberating because it cuts through so much of the pressure to grow at all costs, to work yourself into the ground, to constantly add more features, more complexity.
Right.
The real insight, I think, is that building a calm, focused, profitable business that treats people well, that's actually a way bigger achievement than building some cash-burning unicorn startup. So stop waiting for the perfect moment or some magic bullet. The tools are there. Just start simple.
See you next time with another remarkable thinker, another powerful book, and another idea that has shaped our world.
This audio summary is brought to you by Ecotra Foundation.